1, and we're going to look at verse 18 and read down through 23. This is more than just a Christmas message. It's more than just the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a little bit more than that. It is the Old Testament concealing the new, and the New Testament revealing the old. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him his wife. Let's bow our heads. Ask the Lord to give you something new and fresh from the story of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants to give you something that'll bring a smile to your face today and keep it on there all next week. And he can do that this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of being here in your house with your people. I thank you for every adult that's in this sanctuary today. I thank you for every child who is here and has been in here. I just thank you, Lord, for everyone who has the opportunity to hear the sound of the name Jesus. And we're going to praise you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. To celebrate, and that's what we do. I know the world's way of celebrating is a whole lot different than ours. As Christians, we don't celebrate. I can't help but notice how the world celebrates. If you just have the news on, you'll see how they celebrate. They celebrate because sales are up this year. 17%. I don't know how many dollars that is. I just know that's quite a bit. Sales are up. Now you can give that to the White House if you want to, or you can just say, well, people are feeling good about everything, and so they're buying more. Doesn't make any difference how you look at it. It's how the world sees Christmas. It's all about the materialistic things. I'm not against the materialistic things. I like to get and give just like everybody else at Christmas time. We have fun with it, like the ladies last night having fun with the gifts program that they do, and it was good. But the world just is honed in on it. It's all commercialism. It's all about how it helps the economy. When Jesus came, I'm sure He didn't come so that he could help the economy. I'm sure that when he came, he never come necessarily to cure man's problems, such as the rise in divorce rates and the hurts and the pains that go into people's lives. No, what he came for was to take care of sin. Now, if that takes care of some other problems, that's great. But what he did was he came to take care of the sin problem. Man has always had the sin problem since the third chapter of Genesis. It's never gone away and it never will go away. But from that time of Genesis to this time in first chapter of Matthew, a whole lot of things happened. When you read the Old Testament, you're always seeing in the Old Testament how it conceals things that we know now that the New Testament reveals about what was said then. We see that. They didn't have that opportunity then. We're so privileged to be able to have the Word of God in our lives so that we've been able to study and read the Word of God and see how it all intertwines, and the story is just so complete and so true for us. And we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ this time of year. And I think it is to remind us of what and who. I want to make sure we, not what Christmas is all about, but who Christmas is all about. Because if it wasn't for the who, we wouldn't have the what. So our eyes ought to be always pointed toward Jesus. He's the reason for the season, if I could have a genuine thing to say. I see some people smiling. You know that's not genuine. That came out some years ago, and I'm not sure who came out with it, but it was a good thing. The reason for the season is Jesus, and we know that. Today, we're going to look at the hope of mankind. Then we're going to see the realization of that hope. If I have a hope, I want to know that it's not going to stay just a hope. I want to know that there's going to be a realization in that hope, don't you? I have all my life hoped for certain things. Let me just give you the definition for hope, and you'll see what we all mean when we say we have hope. Hope. To long for, with expectation of obtainment. Now you say, I knew that, Dan. I knew that's what hope was. But I want to take that a little deeper with the scriptures in a minute, so you better remember what I just said. That's good. I see you smiling again. Let me read it. To long for. That's more than just want. Okay, with expectation that you will obtain that of which you hope for. Now, look at realization. You say, well, I know what it means to realize something. I know what realization is. Well, let me just give it to you like this, and maybe it'll just help a little bit. To be fully aware of. Now, this is the hope coming to realization. Now, what you hoped for was a little vague. Am I correct in saying that? You haven't seen what you're hoping for, right? You haven't. You're hoping for it. If you're not hoping for it anymore, you just give up or you've got it, right? So realization is that you become fully aware of. It's there. Fully aware. It's right there in front of you of what you hoped for. But here is another part of that definition. To conceive vividly as real. To conceive vividly as real. In other words, all doubt is gone. Say all doubt's gone. All doubt is gone. We now realize what man hoped for. Now, since the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, we're going to take a look at the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in that story of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, things became real for what man hoped for. You remember, folks were so excited about Jesus being born or coming that they would name their child Jesus, because they were hoping that their child would be the Jesus that was to come. Many of them did. Well, Jesus didn't come the way they thought he would come. Jesus came a different route. And the glorious truth of what I just read to you this morning of the birth of Jesus is this: that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. You can say it either way. I say Holy Spirit sometimes, I say Holy Ghost sometimes. Sometimes when I don't say Holy Ghost, folks say I'm shying away from the Holy Ghost. I'm not shying away from the Holy Ghost. I just say it's the same thing, so you'll know. That which was conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Now, how in the world did that happen? Well, it didn't happen in the world. That's why we can't think like that. When we say that what was conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, we know there's no answer down here for that. That's why Joseph had such a hard time with this. He did. He didn't know. He didn't know that the things hoped for in years past was now coming to realization, and he was the man that God chose to make this thing happen. Oh yeah, he chose him for a specific reason. Jesus himself said this. He said, "I am from above." That's not the end of it. "I am from above. I am not of this world." Now we go back to what he said when he said that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, because now we know why he said, "I am from above. I am not of this world." I'm going to take a look at the hope first. And the hope was in the 23rd verse of what I read to you, which was at the end of what I read. But I'm going to take that 23rd verse and go back where it came from. Because when that was said, it was taken right out of the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And here's what it is. And if it's okay, I'm going to read a whole lot more than that, but because I want you to get the story. Maybe you've never heard this before as to why. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, that didn't come out of the first chapter of Matthew. That came out of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. But now, you see, an angel was quoting this all the time. I want to go back, if I may, and since you're giving me the right to do that, I'll go back. Go to Isaiah with me for just a moment, okay? Look at Isaiah chapter 7, and I'm going to go away from verse 14, because now you got to know why in verse 14 that he said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." Now, part of that is going to take you a long way forward, and part of that is for the time of Isaiah. Now let's see what was going on so that we know why that verse, it's just kind of stuck in there. But now we know, we're going to know why. In verse 3, what was happening here was Ahaz was about to be overrun by the enemy, and God wanted him to have hope that he would take care of it. We need to always believe that God will take care of you. God will take care of his people. If you, parents, let me tell you something. Most of our children are at children's church, but If I could just say this, when you're having a problem in your family, whether it be financial or just a relationship problem, don't ever give up on that, okay? Don't ever give up on that. Go to the one who can solve your problem. Because sometimes if it carries on for a long time, it'll seem as though there's no hope. And the Lord said, oh, but there is hope. And now in Ahaz's life here, he was really struggling with this because he was about to get overrun, but he, being a king, thought, well, I'm a king, I can handle this, I can do this. Watch what it says in verse 3. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz. He had a message for him, and Isaiah, being the prophet that he was supposed to carry the message to Ahaz of what God said. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to skip, so watch me skip. Look at the first part of verse 14. And say unto him, go to Ahaz and say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Is that pretty much the same thing as be still? Be still and know that I am God. He says, you tell him to take heed and be quiet and fear not. Now he's trying to give him a reason to go on and know that everything's going to be okay. And fear not, neither be faint hearted. Now go down. I was going to read the rest of that, but there's no need to, because he goes right on down. Look at verse 5. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Ramallah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying these. He said, I know what's going on, Ahaz. I know what your problem is. God knows your problem. You can't keep your problem from him. He knows exactly what it is. And the good thing about that is he loves you. He not only knows the problem, he loves you in the problem. He's not going to love you before and after. He's going to love you in the problem. And so he says, let us go up against Judah. That's what the enemy's saying. They took counsel against him, and they said, let us go up against him. Then in verse 7 it says this, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand. Not going to have it. Not going to do that to my children. Not going to do that to my people. It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. And then he goes on to say why the head of Syria and Damascus and all them, and what's going to happen. Then he said in verse 10, moreover, I like that word, don't you? Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. He's spelling it out for him. I know you've got a huge problem. There's no hope for you. No, you're outnumbered. It's not looking good for you. Things are not bad. By the way, folks, when Jesus came into this whole world, there was no hope here either. Man was in trouble because of sin. And he was coming to take care of man's problem. And he said, now you just need to know that I know what's going on, I have it under control, and I'm going to take care of it. We're all the way back in Ahaz now, okay? He says, I'm going to take care. He said, you ask a sign of the Lord thy God, and you can ask it either in depth or in height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Pretty defiant, wasn't he? The whole thing spelled out here. If you'll do what I'm saying, you'll know I'm going to take care of it, and I will take care of it. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Now here's the verse that we always remember in 7:14. And you'll say, why in the world is that stuck there in a story about Ahaz about ready to be overrun with no hope of ever winning the battle that he's about to fight? And he says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. He told Ahaz, he said, Ahaz asked for a sign. Ahaz says, I'm not asking for a sign. We're going to get one anyway, right? You're going to get one anyway because God's in control, not Ahaz. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, here is the part you probably never knew. If you do, it's okay. You'll hear it again. This is not all about the first chapter of Matthew. It's not all about Jesus coming from heaven as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It also has to do with Ahaz's problem. Because you see, right after this, we learned that Ahaz had a son. Not born of a virgin, but a son. And he was trying to let him know that everything's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. I'm going to give you victory in this. Your life's going to go on. You're going to have a son. If his life wasn't going to go on, he wouldn't have had a son, would he? In verse 10, it says this. Take counsel together. Of chapter 8. I was about to throw you off there. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Just do the right thing. Say the right thing. Look to the right person, and you'll understand that God is with us. Is that what Emmanuel means? It's exactly what it means. And he was reminding him, and in verse 8 is when his son is born. But now, now, go to verse 9 and look at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We're looking forward. It's going to happen. The hope is going to become a realization. We're heading in that direction. I think I see the flashlight on. I think I see it pointing toward that time when in 1 Matthew it really happens. The hope becomes realization because he said in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Now that couldn't be said of Ahaz. That couldn't be said of Isaiah. But it certainly could be said of the Savior who was going to be born in 1 Matthew. The increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, then forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The light's on. Let's look at it, okay? Then God, the same God of Isaiah, the same angel of the Lord in Isaiah, the same angel of the Lord is in 1 Matthew. Because you see, we're not talking about something that changes every day. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here in this chapter in Matthew, he's going to give us the realization of the hope that Isaiah was trying to tell Ahaz about. And he's trying to tell us about today. And I hope and pray that there's not some in here today who says, I don't need him to send me his Savior. I don't need for him to send me a sign that my sin will take me to hell. I don't need for him to send me someone to take care of my problems. I can take care of myself. I hope there's no one in here because you have no hope if that's where you are. But your hope is in Jesus. And he today is going to let you know that you can realize that hope. Then God, through an angel, spoke to a man named Joseph. Joseph didn't have a thing to do with the birth. But he sure was called of God to take care of the son. Wow, what a job. How'd you like to be a caregiver for that? Oh, yeah. I was over to see little sister Irma yesterday, and the little caregiver was there with her. And she was telling me how she likes to do what she does. She loves going in and taking care of people like Irma, you know. How would you like to have been nominated and called to be the one who would be the caretaker, the stepfather, how you like that one, the stepfather of the Son of God? Wow. 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 The light's on. It's time now for realization. Let's look at the realization. Not going to mystify this. There's no need in mystifying it. It is what it is. You say, oh, but Christmas, is it really real? I mean, is this story really real? Folks, this is more real than anything you know. There's nothing more real in your life than the birth of Jesus Christ, conceived of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing more real than that. Let's just see how real it really is, because he spoke to the man named Joseph, and here's what happened. We go back to verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise in 1 Matthew. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now let's stop right there just for a minute, because realization is real right here. She's got a man she's espoused to. Now, you realize that this relationship in this day was a three-tier deal. They met each other one way or the other. The parents introduced them, or they had different ways of getting with the person they were with. But then they were espoused. But they were not married then. They were married at another time. Joseph and Mary weren't married. They were waiting for that time to come when the music would play and they could walk down the aisle. But that hadn't happened yet. It was plain here that they had never come together. But she was with child. Now, first of all, we're going to deal with Mary, because she had to deal with this. Think about it. You're pregnant, but there's no reason why you should be pregnant. No natural reason why you should be pregnant. But what was happening with her was of the Holy Ghost. So there was no earthly explanation for this. Then Joseph, her husband, she went to him and she said, honey, now I don't know what you're going to believe. Do I need to stop there and pause and let you think about that phrase? I don't know what you're going to believe, but I got to tell you, I'm pregnant. Joseph, bless your heart. He'd already fell in love with Mary. He was espoused to Mary. He loved her. He was going to spend the rest of her life with her and make things out of wood for her. One of the best carpenters around, don't you know? And he was getting that woodworking shop, and man, he was just going to make her all kinds of stuff for her kitchen, make her little tables for the living room and a night table beside the bed. And he just had all kinds of things going on in his life. And she says, I got to tell you something, honey, I'm pregnant. He said, no! No, that can't be. That can't be. But he was a just man. And a just man paused. He didn't jump and go off the gun and go down the street screaming and hollering, she's been unfaithful to me. He didn't do that. It says, being a just man, he was a good man. And not willing to make her a public example, because you see, this wasn't a place where a woman got pregnant without a man. It just wasn't. It wasn't a time for that. Death could have been brought upon her. Not just the shame. Oh, the shame would have been terrible. She lived in this little town. Y'all know how little towns are. Everybody knows. Not willing to make her a public example because he loved her. But he knew, according to Chronicles, that the only way out of this was to give her a contract of divorcement. That was the only way out of this for him and her also in the long run. He was thinking. He was minded to put her away privately. In other words, he was going to handle this thing away. This has happened before in our country and our society. Young ladies have gotten pregnant and moved to Texas or Florida or California or somewhere to be with aunts and uncles until the baby's born. And then you come back and you don't hang around the people you hung around. You know what I mean. Maybe it's not now like it used to be, but there was a little bit of a shame that went on with that. I think we've grown somewhat in that to where we're not cruel. Don't you? I do. But anyway, she just couldn't go around town like this, and he was trying to handle it the best way he knew how. And so he was saying, what in the world am I going to do? I guess I'll just put her away. I guess I'll just divorce her. And God said, but wait a minute, son. Wait a minute, son. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I got to tell you this. I don't know why, but God brought it to him. I'm going to tell you because it might help you, especially some of you younger ones. When Kay and I were married our first couple of years, I spent my 4 years in the Marine Corps and then came home. And it was maybe a couple years after that. I was in my early 20s. I was struggling. Working $55 a week with 3 children. I know that's different today, but I woke up one night and I was broke out all over, just hives all over. And I said, my body was just a wreck. And I got up and went to the emergency room and they told me it was just nerves. And so they gave me something, and I took it and got over that. But a few weeks later, it came back again. And I got up, and I put my clothes on. And I went to see a man who had been great to me all my life, my years. I went to my dad and mom, and I said, Dad, I can't stay married any longer. I've got to do something. I can't. I'm a nervous wreck. My nerves are shot. He said, you get back down there and take care of that wife and those children. He cured my nerve problem immediately. I went back home. And the rest is history. I went through life the rest of my life taking care of the situation. I told you that because I wanted young people to know that that sort of thing can happen. Be like Joseph. Hold up. Just hold up, would you? And give yourself time to have a talk with the Lord. But while he thought on these things, we're back to Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him